short and that it's supposed to be inspiring. It's supposed to send a message. But other than that, I'm absolutely clueless. I tried to think back to any of the sermons that I've heard, sitting in the pews of this church, and I realized that everyone writes differently. Their own words, structures, and stories shape the course of their pages. The only common thread that I found was that they were honest. They spoke the truth. In this day and age, living among the people of my generation, honesty is something that needs to be heard, to be shouted until it cannot be ignored. Friday, April 20th, 2018, was the 19th anniversary of the Columbine shooting. Schools across the country walked out as a sign of protest, a sign that changes need to be made. Naturally, living in Princeton, a widely progressive leading community, I thought that there would be a huge crowd of students breaking down the double doors and declaring the changes that they want to see in the world. 13 students showed up. I couldn't believe the small numbers, especially considering the recent gun threat in Princeton. We sat outside as the wind whipped around the flagpole. We sat, and we thought. Many people complimented our so-called bravery as they walked past, or threw a respectful nod in our direction, but no one joined us. After an hour, the protest was over. We pulled up our signs and went back to class. When I later questioned why people failed to walk out, I received a myriad of answers. I had an important test that period, or my parents would kill me if I missed any of my classes. While many would view these reasons as practical, the word that comes to mind is selfish. I am not claiming that I am purely selfless, putting others' needs before my own with every crossroad I face. In fact, this week, I turned my back on a friend that needed help with a difficult math assignment to finish my own project, a project that wasn't due for another 3 days. It may seem small and insignificant, but what happens when the small incidents add together? The small become large, and the large becomes the billowing gray cloud, growing and twisting in your wake with every small step. Flowers bloom, and the wind blows, and people often ignore the fact that there is life all around them, life that is fragile and breakable. Life that can be shattered like icy shards in a clear slip, melted by the flames of selfishness and ignorance. Life that cannot be compromised under any circumstances. Although grades and performance in school are almost essential in a society so focused around intelligence and being the best, aren't life and happiness supposed to be our number one priority? I ask the student taking the important test, are you so consumed by your exam and success to ignore the fact that your largest problem is receiving a 3.5 GPA? I ask anyone who uses their parents' expectations as an excuse to keep the world the same place that it is, are your ideas really and truly your own? I ask myself why I feel so obligated to privileges, to benefits, not realizing that so many people go days upon days, upon days, without them. I ask anyone who sees the world as it is, and not as it could be, can you expand your horizons and dare to dream? Dare to sacrifice simple things, as small as taking a test that you study for another day, or dealing with 1 week of grounding to prove an important point. A point that could change the way the world operates. Dare to sacrifice privileges, actions with bigger repercussions, such as the people getting arrested and killed every single day, protesting and marching in hope that their bravery can one day benefit others, strangers that they do not know and probably never will. Jesus mentions that he lays it down of his own accord, dying for the greater good of all mankind. Not only is he giving up something so precious and fragile, but he's doing it for the morally correct reasons. The good shepherd isn't pressured to defend his sheep, and obligation to do the right thing. Yet he notices that his sacrifice will benefit the minority. Our society works in some ways. Many become the hired hands. They live in their own world, add money to the linings of their pockets, and become deaf to the harsh realities of this world that we live in. These problems we're facing are not a matter of light or dark skin. They are a straight orientation, or, contrary to popular belief, progressive or traditionalist views. This is a matter of common human concern. So I ask you, dare to follow the example of the Good Shepherd. Dare to shout. Shout in hope that someday, somewhere, a child doesn't have to hide under a desk in a cold and unmoving silence. This verse resonates in me like nothing I've ever read before. I don't usually come across Bible verses that impact me, but this one does. This past year has been a roller coaster for me. It's my senior year of high school. I've made a decision on where I'm going to go to college, and most likely what I'll be doing for the rest of my life. I'll be going to Delaware Valley University and majoring in horticulture, which is a fancy word for the study of plants. But choosing that is a very scary thing to think about since I'm only 18 and have my whole life ahead of me. But nonetheless, I feel like I grew this year into the person I am. Before this year, I never really thought anything of politics. I never cared for it, and I never really found it interesting. But I'm part of a generation who's increasingly getting more involved in politics and speaking our voice. The young people of our nation have made an incredible impact on how I view the world. It's crazy to me to think about that kids my age are organizing rallies and having millions of people showing up for them. I've never felt like I had a voice before now. I'm also part of a generation that has grown up with mass shootings happening so frequently that not even all of them make the news. I grew up with mass shootings just as I've grown up with the rapid change of technology and the miraculous changes of medical science. But having to grow up with mass shootings is unacceptable. In this year alone, there have been 58 shootings. 58. That blows my mind that only in the fourth month into 2018, there have been so many and our nation still doesn't believe that something is wrong. I have had enough. I've had enough of hearing about mass shootings across the U.S. every other day when it's a normal thing. I've had enough of listening to people giving their prayers. I've had enough of not speaking up for what I believe in. I've gone too many fearful years of stepping away from arguments because I didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I'm done. What does it take for our nation to finally realize that something is wrong? As the disciples followed and believed in Jesus to be the Good Shepherd, I am following the youth to shepherd a better America. On March 24th, me and many other kids and adults from our church went to the March for Our Lives in Philly. It was an incredible experience because I really felt like I was part of a huge change in our nation, or at least the beginning of a change. It was amazing to see kids in my age who made incredible speeches on behalf of the youth of America. And as part of the youth, I can say that we want to see change. We shouldn't have to feel in the back of our minds every day that we might die in school, in the theater, at a concert, or even in a church. Our voice is so strong, and I hope that the government and our nation realizes that. As an individual, I finally feel like I have a voice, and I'm up here today because I feel comfortable enough to speak my voice here at this congregation. There are so many ways to get involved if you truly believe in something. Instead of giving your thoughts and prayers, though they are very welcoming and comforting, take action. You have a voice that you can use. Reach out to your local representatives, join rallies and marches, volunteer. It's like frightening to think that there are so many people who seem to disregard morals that I hold so dearly. The idea that any kind, peaceful person should be welcome into our country, or that a child shouldn't be afraid to go to school, or that a person shouldn't fear the police anymore than anyone else because of their skin color. How is there a way that we can stop the ever-increasing separation of the world around us? What is the way? The seemingly impossible at times we need to listen to each other, to engage with those who think differently than us, not necessarily have our ideas changed or our opinions swayed, but simply to listen and process the point of view. Jesus has commanded us to love one another, but maybe that doesn't mean agreeing with them or even liking them at all. But it does mean to respect them, even though that seems so different from ourselves. Through respect and compassion can come peace. But respect, of course, is not only reserved for those on the opposite ends of the argument. We need to take our love for one another and acknowledge the fight that many were fighting before the white kids got the media attention. The idea that even though kids all over the country are fighting for gun control now, people of color in cities all over the country have been victims of gun violence and societal oppression for decades. We need to respect and acknowledge the intersection between issues. We have been given a voice and a platform to stand up for ourselves, but also for those who are different. True peace can come only when no one is oppressed. Though the ability to protest has been extraordinary, I hope that it ends with me and my generation. I hope that as we grow older, the need for this kind of action isn't so prevalent. I hope the kids of the future generations won't have to stand up to the adults and the government because they'd rather protect an enterprise made of guns. Maybe that's too much wishful thinking, but just imagine the change that could happen if we were able to lay aside any qualms and anger toward each other and embody that feeling of human love and respect that Jesus teaches us to have. Let us love. Let us lay down our personal wants for the gain of society, for the betterment of us all. No more shall the sound of weeping or the cry of distress. No more shall there be an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain. Our voices shall not speak in vain. Before we call, God will answer. Before we call, and while we are yet speaking, God will hear. And while we are yet speaking, God will hear. And the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And they shall not hurt or destroy on all God's holy mountain. And they shall not hurt or destroy on all God's holy mountain. And they shall not